Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's EHS podcast for the week ending May 8th. My name's Alan Nguyen.
And I'm Allison Granke.
And we'll be bringing you the latest news in environmental health and safety. So, Allison, I believe you're going to start us off with a story from the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, so in a new report, one financial advisory and consulting firm has tried to shed some light on the risks that U.S. oil and gas producers are most concerned about. So in order to put together a list of the top 20 risk factors that are on the minds of these companies, the report used the most recent 10K filings of the 100 largest public upstream oil and gas companies. Interestingly, although we've been hearing an awful lot about the volatile oil and gas prices lately, this risk came in third on the list, behind reserve replacement and an increased cost of compliance associated with regulatory changes. Health and safety concerns were well represented at the top of the list of risk factors, with operational hazards such as blowouts, spills, and personal injury coming in at number four on the list. Hydraulic fracturing regulations, as well as health and environmental regulations, are perceived as big risk factors for the industry as well. There's been a lot of upheaval in oil and gas regulations within the past 6 months or so, and there's bound to be more in the months and years ahead. We reported on the new BSEE regulations for U.S. offshore oil just last week, and of course in the midstream sector there have been a lot of developments in oil by rail rules. Environmental groups are also challenging California's oil waste rules, calling them a threat to protected sources of drinking water as the state continues to suffer through a record drought. So we'll be keeping an eye on these breaking stories and others in the months ahead, and it sounds like the upstream oil and gas companies will be keeping a careful eye out as well. And Alan, you've got an update from OSHA for us?
Yeah, so OSHA has taken a step closer to improving workplace safety and health for transgender workers. So the agency recently announced that it would be entering into an alliance with the National Center for Transgender Equality to develop products and guideline materials for the National Center for Transgender Equality affiliates and others with information and resources to support that goal. So what does this really mean? Well, the two-year alliance agreement will provide opportunities for OSHA to speak, exhibit, or appear at conferences, local meetings, or other events sponsored by the National Center for Transgender Equality or allied organizations. Additionally, the alliance will focus on sharing information on OSHA initiatives, workers' rights, and employer responsibilities, and other safety and health information. The National Center for Transgender Equality will also review, promote, and disseminate new guidance products. So the NCTE was founded in 2003 and is a national social justice advocacy organization for transgender people. A report recently released by the National Center for Transgender Equality and the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force found that roughly 55% of transgender people surveyed lost a job due to bias. Additionally, 22% of workers in the National Transgender Discrimination Survey reported that they were denied access to gender-appropriate restrooms on the job. So through its alliance program, OSHA works with unions, consulates, trade and professional organizations, faith and community-based organizations, businesses, and educational institutes to prevent workplace fatalities, injuries, and illnesses. The purpose of each alliance is to develop compliance assistant tools and resources and to educate workers and employers about the rights and responsibilities. It's also worth noting that the Alliance program participants will not receive any exemptions from OSHA inspections or any other enforcement benefits. And if you'd like to learn more about this story, be sure to check out the resource link of this podcast. And Allison, I believe you have a story about a safety initiative.
Yeah, so this week also saw the beginning of the National Fall Safety Stand Down, which is a two-week event that aims to raise awareness around preventing fall hazards in construction. It's part of OSHA's fall prevention campaign, launched 2 years ago with NIOSH and the Center for Construction Research and Training. Fall prevention safety standards are consistently among the top 10 most frequently cited OSHA standards, and falls are the number one cause of fatal injury in the construction industry. During these 2 weeks, participating employers and workers will be voluntarily stopping work to focus on fall hazards and how to prevent them. Stand downs have been organized in all 50 states, organized by industry and business leaders, ranging from universities to labor organizations and community groups. The National Safety Stand Down runs until May 15th, so there's still plenty of time to get involved if you're interested. You can find a link to OSHA's National Safety Stand Down page on their website in the resources section of our podcast. The site has lots of great resources on how to conduct a safety stand down, as well as frequently asked questions, so check it out. And Alan, I believe you have an update for us coming from the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, so the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement has recently launched a near-miss reporting system in an effort to improve the safety of offshore oil and gas operations. The announcement was made on May 5th during the Offshore Technology Conference in Houston, Texas. The BSEE's new Safe OCS initiative is a voluntary confidential program is designed to gather and analyze near-miss data. The Bureau of Transportation Statistics will analyze the stats to search for safety trends and gain a better understanding of offshore risk. The program has set up a phone line which you can call at 844-738-9OCS. For outer continental shift workers, companies, and others to report near misses, the BSEE also plans to launch an official website for the program in June. Meanwhile, the agency has also released its 2014 annual report. The report document includes summaries, comparisons, and trends in the industry, as well as an outline of ongoing strategies to reduce risk. And if you're looking to check out the report for yourself, be sure to check out the resource link of this podcast. And that concludes this week's EHS podcast. And as always, if you're interested in learning more about any of the stories that we covered in this week's podcast, be sure to check out the resource links. And as always, thanks for listening.